This is Soliana representing Eritrea and Ethiopia, and you're listening to Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM.
www.ciut.fm. Thank you.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM. My name is Seth Martosh, and I'm here with my co-host,
Alex Troxel. If you're new to what Tracks from Abroad is, it's this radio show where we metaphorically go around the world, talk to different students who have different backgrounds, talk to some local artists sometimes too, and we learn a little bit about their culture through the music that they share with us. Mm-hmm. And right now you're enjoying our silky smooth voices over the microphone.
Is that how you describe it?
Well,
you did, so yes.
I did, yes, yes.
Conviction.
And there is, however, going to be a catch. This week, our microphone setup was not ideal during
the
interview.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for that. I normally set up the microphones, and just listening back, Alex's mic is a little muffled, so...
I was being suffocated.
Bear with us on that one.
They were holding me there, prisoner.
And Alex, who are we interviewing today, and what country are we going to?
Well, today we'll be talking to Soliana from a mix. It's a mix episode this week. We're speaking with Soliana, as I said, about the Amharic peoples, which is this sort of ethnic group which is split between Ethiopia and Eritrea. So we have a lot of talk about sort of this culture as a whole rather than just the specific country, Eritrea or Ethiopia.
Yeah, exactly. And Soliana is part of also the Eritrean Ethiopian Students Association here at the University of Toronto. So she tells us a little bit about some of the events that they put on and, you know, kind of that neighborliness, and I mean, yeah, they come out of the same people, so similarities, maybe some differences between. She talks to us about some of the food you might find in this region in Africa, and also about some interesting ceremonies to do with coffee, which we'll hear about a little bit later, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Yeah, she really paints a picture, I find.
Right.
Enjoying coffee, relaxing in a cafe, a little bit of Eritrean jazz, which you'll hear throughout the episode. So, without further ado, let's cut to the interview. This is Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM.
I'm studying life sciences, and I'm majoring in human biology and health studies.
Can you say a bit about what that means?
So, I guess, like, the combination of human biology and health studies, you basically get more of, like, a humanities lens of what health looks like. So you talk about, like, health policy, the social determinants of health, and a little bit more of, like, a broader scope of what informs, I guess, the type of health outcomes that different demographics have. And then human biology is a little bit more of like the heavy sciences. So like biology, chemistry, biochem, stuff like that.
And out of the two, which do you prefer?
Honestly, I think health studies, just because like in first year life science, you already get your fair share of all of that heavy science stuff. So it's a little bit nice to kind of branch out and learn a little bit more of what informs health in like a broader scope.
Is that something that you sought out in particular to have like a sort of balanced look at both like the science and also the policy?
Yeah, for sure. I think also like I'm interested in medicine, and I feel like you kind of have to have a bit of a broader idea of health in general and like knowing kind of the policy lens and like sociological ideas of health. So I thought that would be interesting. And so that was definitely purposeful.
Could you tell us a bit about your time as co-president of the EESA, the Eritrean and Ethiopian Student Association?
So this is my first year on the EESA, and this year I'm serving as co-president. My other co-president, her name is Tsede. And yeah, it's just been great. We have a team of about like 15 executives, and I've never really gone to school or been in an environment with a lot of other Eritrean or Ethiopian people. So it's been really nice to kind of branch out and find that community here at U of T. And so far we've held a few events. I think our most notable one was like in partnership with the Sudanese Student Association and the Somalian Student Associations, and it was called Feast in the East. It was not too long ago, so we just had a bunch of like catered food from these countries in East Africa, and we had I think like 100 signups or something, so it was super awesome. Got to meet lots of new people, and that's kind of just been the general vibe of the club, like coordinating events and stuff and having different people from that region meet each other and build community.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of it. It looked pretty exciting. Like, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the food also looked amazing. Can you talk a little bit about the food that you might have at this event?
I mean, I can definitely speak to like Eritrean and Ethiopian food. I guess the general theme is you have this like flatbread called injera. I'm not sure if you guys have seen it before, but it's like, it's got lots of holes in it. Probably like a trypophobia's worst nightmare.
Right.
But yeah, after that, you kind of add on a bunch of like sauces or stews, I guess, mostly consisting of like beef or lamb. It's typically pretty spicy, but there's also lots of vegetarian options and stuff like that. Yeah. And in terms of the other student associations, like Sudanese and Somalian food, I actually wasn't too familiar with what their food consisted of, but I learned that Somalian people eat a lot of bananas, which I didn't know. And yeah, it's quite similar, to be honest, like flatbread, pretty spicy foods.
I saw also on your executive profile on the Instagram that one of your favorite food, cha-cha tibs.
Yeah, cha-cha tibs. It's more of like a dry, like grilled meat, I guess, with like onions, bell peppers and stuff like that. I honestly don't know exactly how I could describe it much else than that, but it's like super flavorful. We love to cook using onions a lot, so I feel like it kind of elevates the flavor profile of everything. And then you also eat that with the injera, so that's definitely my favorite.
It's in some interesting type of dish. What is that?
Oh, yes.
That type of dish.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's clay. Like they serve a lot of stuff on, I guess, like handmade clay pots, or we also have a traditional coffee ceremony where they have these, like, I don't even really know what I would call it. It's called a jebena, but it's like almost like a kettle of sorts that you make coffee in, made out of clay. So yeah, we do have a lot of stuff like that that we serve food on.
Is there a significant difference between Ethiopian and Eritrean food?
There might be some like differences that I'm not aware of, but in general, it's pretty similar. I think they just use different names because they speak different languages, so they call the food by different names.
Does that also go for other areas of Ethiopian and Eritrean culture?
Honestly, they're quite similar. There is like an umbrella term for people from Eritrea and Ethiopia, like the ethnicity, and it's called like being Habesha. So Habesha people are people from that region. And in terms of like the clothing that they wear, the food that they eat, just in general, like religion, traditions and stuff like that, it is pretty similar across the board. So yeah, they just happen to be two different countries and they speak many languages within the countries, but for the most part, different languages between the two.
And so that's also why you guys have joined together in one student union.
Basically, yeah, it's quite similar. So even my parents, like, they speak both the languages, although they were raised in Eritrea. So there is a lot of crossover between the two.
I think that's a good time for us to take a quick music break. Soliana, can you recommend a song for us to play?
Yeah, so the first song I'd like to suggest, I think lots of people may have heard it before. It's called Tezeta, and it's by Mulatu Astatke, and it's an Ethiopian jazz song. I feel like I've been hearing it quite frequently. I think I heard it for the first time online, actually. So yeah.
Okay, well, we'll take a listen, and we'll be back on Tracks from Abroad. Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Alex, I'm here with my co-host Seth, and today we're talking to Soliana. Could you tell us a little bit about where your family comes from, where you come from?
Yeah, for sure. So to clarify, I was born here. I'm not born in Eritrea, but my parents were born in Asmara, the capital of Eritrea, and they grew up there. And then my mom came here sometime in the 80s. I think she was about 18. And then she sponsored lots of her sisters and my dad as well. And then I guess all my cousins were, for the most part, born here or they've come here now. But growing up, I think that I was never taught to speak the language. The language spoken in Eritrea is called Tigrinya. And so I always say I know like a household level of it. So like, sit down, come here, go to bed, like kind of the stuff that your parents would tell you when you were like growing up. And so I think that that kind of maybe made it a little bit harder for me to connect with the culture, but I'm definitely trying now to learn a lot more. It's just kind of hard because it's not as popular as a language to learn. So it's not something you'd find on like Duolingo, but trying to learn a little bit more and connect more with that. So yeah.
Do you find that that's a common thing for Eritrean and Ethiopian people like around your age to want to kind of reconnect with their culture and the language?
For sure. I think that most of the people I meet, especially like at our age where you're kind of like a young adult, are very proud, I'd say, to be Eritrean and Ethiopian. I feel like when you're younger, not many people know where those countries are. So it's kind of awkward, like needing to explain the location or the people to people that might not be familiar with it. But I feel like that's kind of why stuff like the Eritrean and Ethiopian Student Association are so important. And I think why they kind of attract so many people from across the U of T campuses, because everybody's really willing to get to know other Habesha people and kind of build that sense of community and learn more about their culture.
Have you been back to Eritrea since?
I've never seen Eritrea, but I visited Ethiopia. I was in the 8th grade when I went, and it was a really nice experience. Some of my family members were still living there at the time, so we stayed with them. And yeah, it was just super exciting, like, to see, I guess, the way life goes over there. And I think also there's lots of misconceptions people have about life in that region, so it was just nice to experience it and get to see my family.
Can you tell us about some of the misconceptions people might have?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like the main thing, well, to put it frankly, is the whole like living in huts and maybe not having lots of infrastructure over there. But it was very beautiful. There was lots of fun stuff to do. I know my family and I, we went to this resort and it was gorgeous there. I think like obviously they're Eritrean Ethiopia, they're not the most like economically developed countries in the world. But I think that definitely if people ever got the chance to go there, I think that they'd be surprised. Also, the people are like extremely friendly, very lovely people. Like you could strike up a conversation with anybody that you just see on the street. So I thought that was really nice as well.
And what are some of the things that you might do in Ethiopia?
I guess in terms of like cool tourist attractions, I could suggest the National Museum of Ethiopia was pretty cool. They have, I think, the oldest human remains found, like fossils found. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of Lucy before, but it's the oldest human fossil ever found. So that was really interesting. And I think that there is a lot of like archaeological studies that go on in that region. And it is kind of known to be an area where like they believe that life has originated from. So that was pretty interesting. Aside from that, I think that like my favorite thing really was just driving throughout the city with my family, getting to see people. You see lots of animals like walking around. So yeah, it was super cool.
So you mentioned also wanting to learn the language to reconnect with the culture. Does music play a sort of similar role in that where you're hearing the language still? Could you say a bit about how you've experienced Ethiopian and Eritrean music?
When I was little, my parents in the car like almost exclusively played Eritrean music. And so I think I caught on a lot to the lyrics. Like I'm able to sing the lyrics, but I have no idea what they mean. But oftentimes I'll just ask my parents like, oh my gosh, I hear this word all the time. What does it mean? And I feel like little by little through listening to music, or maybe like if they're watching a TV show and I'm watching it with them, I can kind of like piece certain things together or learn a new word with every song or TV show that I'm watching with them.
And what are the staple sounds of Eritrean and Ethiopian music?
It's definitely, I would say, like, heavy drums. And then there's, like, a certain melody I find that, like, they would play on string instruments. Another song that I love, it's from an Ethiopian artist called Tariku Gansiki, and it's called Dish Tagina.
We'll take a listen, and we'll be back on Tracks from Abroad. Nishtagina, Dora, Matene, Oide, Da,
setse yeah arbi sagle setse itar sabinse wada kamar taxi wacha yeah bek sarvezi samsa somze got me tafar soke somze antar apa soke killa isne killa tike itse Songa kar sokte, songa sokte. Nishte gina, gail babo. Nishte gina, barget babo. Nishte gina, sidhe babo. Irar nishte gina, seki babo. Irar nishte gina, baye babo. Irar nishte gina, bake babo. Stagina Oba Babo Ora Distagine Leider Babo Ora Distagine Goze Babo Iwa Goisi Yatka Marit Distagine Marit Distagine Oh no Yeah Yeah What they are Ondeda Oksteda Betje gets there Kes de kal tonta pot monte eh kesa no la kesa adista gere arie adri agere ie wote nenenata anda pati anchina yewa anda tinti mi malezo andim neger yelle ada mertu zare inkartade mano yalo menno yem derse range yas ayike basu fut cinco zara ya zetke basu fut cinco zara ya zetke mert batelle gatelle semaineya abet mamarwa waine mide waine waine mide ne kanchi anchi kene fekar tafa zambal vela eya andu apate adamundime ada Nayawa andu atinte oh mata nem keza mata anchim keza mata antem keza mata mal ningapa yi wate susmyo wale gina dishta gina arit dishta gina arit dishta gina arit dishta gina Ich mich setze am MC und bonne Oha Bono Kayon ne Gaia Sismion wanne Hit me wanne Ich mich wanne Chamme gaka Sabi inti este Bade tatene yeus kazare yeunat fikerata bizafen yelle bizamrel ndaw min shala wa yemder sirange nas ayike basu fut cinco zara ya zetke basu fut cinco zara ya zetke
Yeah. I wonder what she thinks when she's alone. She'll be with other men. So when you're wrong, remember how she is.
you see how it feels. Cause she's out of love, she's out of pain, she's in the dust. She'll ruin your name when he's not around. She'll do her thing, believing in your trust. It'll be too late, cause she's out of love. See her in the street. So when you do, remember how she thinks. But don't be fooled, she's not who she is. Cause she's out of love, she's out of pain, she's in the dust. She'll ruin your name when he's not around. She'll do her thing, believing in trust. It'll be too late, cause she's out of love.
Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM. Today we are talking with Soliana, representing Eritrea and Ethiopia. You mentioned earlier also about all of your family back home that has come here. And also I noticed on the Instagram post you said that one of your favorite things is having many cousins. Is that a common thing for many Eritrean people to have a big family?
Yes. I personally have 3 siblings, and my mom has a pretty big family. She has, I think, 6 other siblings.
Wow.
So it is super common to have lots of siblings and then therefore lots of cousins. I think on my mom's side alone, I have like 18 cousins. It's pretty awesome. Honestly, it's like built-in best friends. And so every family gathering is just super exciting. You have lots of people to talk to.
And when would you normally get together with your extended family? Are there certain holidays or something?
Well, like definitely like Christmas, Easter, all of those holidays. Also because we're all living here, but then back home, they kind of follow like the Orthodox Christian calendar. And so we kind of have like 2 Christmases and 2 Easters. Like if not on the first Christmas we get together, like I think January 7th is usually like Orthodox Christmas. So we all gather usually at my grandma's place and have like Eritrean food, and it's nice.
And is there one specific dish that you're excited to eat when it's Christmas or one of these traditional holidays?
Yeah, I guess there's 2. There's one called sebhi, which is basically almost everything we eat is like on the flatbread, like on the injera.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like a specific stew. I think it's like lamb and then just a bunch of spices. Sometimes it's like with chicken as well. And usually, like, they also have boiled eggs in there. I feel like you need to see it to really understand the vision, but that's always really good. And I feel like it's really hard to find somebody that doesn't make it well. I feel like every dish of, like, tzebhi I've had is super good. So I'm always excited to have that. And then there's also something called kutfo, which is, like, kind of like a medium rare. It depends. Like, it's, like, ground meat that just isn't fully cooked, which sounds maybe a little bit strange to people who aren't used to it, but it's usually seasoned pretty nicely and it's super good. So that's also something
like a tartare kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
For desserts, mm-hmm. What kind of desserts would you have?
We have one thing called hambasha, which is basically this like giant bread loaf that we make. In terms of like sweet desserts, honestly, I don't know if we particularly have any besides that. We also have like coffee ceremonies, so they're just really big on making coffee. I feel like when I was in Ethiopia, they did it like every single day. Like at some point in the day, they would make coffee and they used the thing called the jebena, which is like that clay kettle that they make it in. But in terms of pastries, I'd say they just eat Italian pastries. There's a lot of like Italian influence there, so.
Oh, it's funny you said that. I was curious
about
the Italian influence in Eritrea. Is it very prominent?
Yeah, I think it's often described as like a little Italy, almost like the capital city of Eritrea. It does like go back to the Italian occupation of Eritrea. So I know that like when my parents were growing up there, they were forced to learn Italian. Mm-hmm. Like there was all sorts of that. But in terms of like, you know, they have lots of gelato places, lots of like bakeries there. There is that influence that kind of persists.
Could you say a little bit more about coffee ceremonies? I've never heard it described as a ceremony.
So basically they have like a particular setup where they, like I mentioned, like they make coffee in the Jebina, and then we use these like tiny ceramic cups, almost like an espresso shot, you could say. And yeah, usually people have like black coffee. So people have like, they gather coffee beans, they put them in this particular pot. I don't exactly know how to describe it, but they roast the coffee beans from scratch and then grind them themselves and then make them in the Jebina. So the clay kettle of sorts. Yeah, and then I think you're supposed to serve it at least 4 rounds of it. So you serve the coffee 4 times.
Does the coffee get less strong every time, or it's the same strength?
I feel like it's the same, to be honest. I feel like everybody should have it, especially if you're a coffee lover. Like, at some point in your life, I feel like it's super rich. And so every time I try coffee from somewhere else, I'm like, oh, it doesn't compare.
Not as good.
Yeah.
Because it's like smaller cups, right? But much stronger.
Yeah, much stronger. And then you just have it like a few times. You always have to compliment whoever's making it.
Like, while they're making it, or just in general?
Once you try it, once you take the first sip, I think the word in Tigrinya is ti'm, which just means like it tastes good or it's good. So yeah, you always have to say that after each round.
Yeah, I think I've had the coffee when I've gone for Ethiopian food before. I remember them bringing it out, and like, I don't remember it being like a whole ceremony, but definitely more ceremonious than normal.
Like regular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll say another thing that they do is like, as they're roasting the coffee beans, I don't know if they made you do this, but like they kind of like bring it to each person. You have to like waft the aroma of the beans in your face.
It was a while ago. I don't remember exactly, but that sounds kind of nice. And you get like a little taste of it before.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't know why they do that, but it's a nice experience.
I think coffee beans, that smell is good for like neutralizing. Like if you smell something really strong, the particles get in your nose and they just stay there and you just have that smell lingering. And if you want to get rid of that, then you waft some coffee.
Yeah, I guess you could ask about, like, I guess, like, your parents' generation of music versus, like, more modern music, if there's a big difference.
I feel like it's kind of, like, the music that they would mostly play for me is just, like, an 80s sound, you know? And I feel like a lot of their music kind of still has that, but I feel like nowadays you have more of, like, similar to the song that was played, like, a little bit more of, like, an upbeat, heavy drums, like, pop type of sound. So yeah, there's lots of different genres of Ethiopian music or Eritrean music. I wouldn't say it just like sticks to one, but you can kind of always hear like that Ethiopian influence in terms of like the drums that are used, or I guess like the melody of the guitar, like the way the guitar is played in the song. So.
And do you have one more recommendation that you could give us?
Absolutely. So this one's called Mr. Fikri by Abraham Afwerki.
And could you tell us a little bit about what kind of song this is?
Yeah, so it's a little bit more of like a slower, like R&B sound. And yeah, it's definitely one of my dad's favorites, which is why I wanted to recommend it.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have a listen to Mr. Fikri, one of Soliana's dad's favorite songs. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us about your culture.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to take a music break, and we'll be back on Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM. مرجان برهن كويلني مخيرين كد متسك خوبي كتسبيا محتا أطميتي كلاليا أبي كنت هلو مواقساي تسامى معني راح سينما فسي قرما حيوات درارون عيني Come on,
Hello and welcome back to Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM. You just heard our interview with Soliana, a student here at U of T, and we'd just like to thank her for telling us a little bit about the Eritrean and Ethiopian culture. I think I learned a lot, at least.
Yeah, me as well. And, you know, she talked a lot with us about listening to music and her mother tongue to kind of stay connected to her culture. She said, you know, she doesn't speak as much, but, you know, you can hear that desire to stay in contact with
one's roots in a lot of the music from, you know, people of Eritrean and Ethiopian descent and in the diaspora now.
Yeah, and we'll actually hear a little bit, a song from The Weeknd, who's actually a second-generation immigrant from Ethiopia. And that samples Esther Owekki, who's a traditional Ethiopian artist.
But before we get to The Weeknd, we'll listen to a song by Kibra, a Canadian-Ethiopian artist, titled Live Your Life, which is a song about finding ways to honor one's ancestors by living your own life to the fullest, and which seems pretty fitting for a country that is famous for fighting off colonization.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't really talk about that in our interview much, but Ethiopia, yeah, as Seth mentioned there, sort of, you know, one of the things it's known for is evading colonization for the most part. Now, this song that we're going to hear in a second, I think, is interesting, the song Live Your Life that Seth mentioned, because on TFA we touch, you know, somewhat frequently on the sort of burden or responsibility that second-generation immigrants feel because, you know, their parents and further generations sort of made so many sacrifices to get them to a different country. And I think this is an interesting song because it sort of takes in a different direction and says, you know, that's something to be proud of, something to inspire you rather than, you know, weigh down on you. So you know, that's just my interpretation.
Wow, very very astute, Alex.
Thank you.
Maybe we need to start getting you to do more like song
analysis
after.
You know what? If anyone's listening, music journalism, hit me up.
That's going to be your new career, right?
That's my new career, yeah. But, you know, I will, of course, let you make your own decision on exactly what this song means to you. So without further ado, let's have a listen.
This is for the fighting ancestors who paid, for the ones who've not been written on a page. You're seen, you're hurt by just how far we came. Still more to do, but we got angels at our base. So baby, don't you ever try to hide your name. It tells your story, where you come from, what have shaped. Hold your head up, keep your pride, yours to reclaim. No need to fit in, it don't pay to be the same.
Live your life to the fullest.
Live your life to the fullest.
obsessed with the devil lights, so obsessed with the camera lights. You love her, but you can't deny the truth, the truth. She loves everybody, can't you tell by the signs? She loves everybody, she gets off all the time. It's a dark philosophy, and our hearts are constantly. It's a false alarm to me. She's a false alarm.
Welcome back to Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM. Hopefully you've enjoyed some of the Ethiopian and Eritrean R&B and soul we've been listening to. And just to mention, make a little correction here. We said that Kibra was Ethiopian Canadian, but she's not. She's actually Eritrean Canadian. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to hear to seal out the show, Alex?
Well, it's a bit of a thematic show tonight. I'm sort of glad with the way we've put together these songs. Closing us out today is going to be some traditional music that is going to display a couple of different of traditional musical instruments of Eritrea and Ethiopia. So first up, we're going to have Daniel Nebiat, who plays a krar, which is sort of like a lyre, except it's played in a way that I've never seen an instrument played. He sort of holds it underneath his underarm like a crutch, and then sort of like holds it out in front of him with his arm raised and sort of like plucks the string.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah, it's very interesting. If you want to take a look at some videos, I would recommend that.
Cool. And Nebiat is actually, I don't know about currently, but was a member of the Okavango African Orchestra, who, you know, we've featured on the show before.
Yes.
And have seen perform in various guises with all their members. So
yes,
you know, always nice to have them grace the airwaves.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, we're going to have another song that's sort of like an uplifting dance song that features a traditional flute of Ethiopia and Eritrea. I think you'll see what I mean. It's very prominent in the song. It's quite the jive. But I think to make sure that we have enough time to really enjoy those songs, we'll have to close out the show right here. So do you want to thank our fantastic team?
Yeah, we always would like to thank the team. We've got Matthew, the board tech, in the studio with us today. Rosa and Elzbieta, our directors. We'd like to thank Simon for editing our interviews and making us sound nice and fresh and clean. And our social media managers, Akshita and Isabella. And we hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Of course.
Upcoming is Indigenous Waves.
Exactly.
And this has been Tracks from Abroad on CIUT 89.5 FM.
I'll call you. I need to know what it is.